Today's cool fact of the day is anyone can be a math person. It's just a matter of whether or not you believe it or not. People who believe they're math people are a lot more likely to be willing to put in the work it takes in order to get good at math, which then reinforces their belief that they're actually good at it. People who don't believe that they're good at math are less likely to do the work, so they don't get good at it, and they don't improve. Hey everyone, it's Dave Asprey with Bulletproof Radio, and today's guest is someone awesome. His name is Abelard Lindsay. At least that's what you think his name was because you've seen it all over the internet if you've heard about the newest smart drug stack out there called SILTEP. Abelard, believe it or not, that's not his real name, has never come out of the closet, so to speak, as a biohacker. Turns out Abelard is a computer science guy with 20 years of programming experience who became a biohacker and started hacking his own brain, looked at different effects from different natural substances, and created a new category of nootropic called SILTEP. I'm super excited that he's decided to sort of take off the mask on today's show. This is an exclusive kind of first time for him. Abelard, or shall we say Justin, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Now, rumor has it you're studying computer science. You're in your second year of your PhD.
Master's.
Oh, master's. Okay, got it. And you've been working with this new smart drug as a way of improving your coding efficiency?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really been a revolution for me. Before I was just getting by and doing the work, but since I started taking SILTEP, I've really stepped it up a notch. And my boss actually came to me and said, you know, your performance over the last year and a half has really increased. Was it because your old boss that you didn't like left or something like that? And, you know, I just actually told him, and he was really intrigued. He couldn't believe it, and neither could I to some extent. But it's really helped quite a bit, especially with learning new material, learning new systems, upgrading my skills, taking new approaches to things. It's been quite helpful.
So a couple of things got my attention, the reason that I wanted to chat with you originally. Things that help people learn faster, have better memory, those are like core to it. I do with Bulletproof, but you did the entire math curriculum of Khan Academy in 2 weeks.
That was the entire K through 12 curriculum.
Okay.
Not including differential equations or, any of that stuff. But, when I started taking SILTEP, I got this intense desire to study math, and I had kind of been a little bit phobic about advanced math, and I said, okay, I'm gonna fix that, because I want to go back to graduate school and understand all that stuff, and so I started doing all these Khan Academy exercises, and they started out really easy, and then they went up all the way to basic calculus, and it was just addictive, and I just kept at it, and it's kind of thing that before SILTEP, I would have gotten lazy about it and probably given up, halfway through or put it off or just not wanted to do it. But I just enjoyed it so much. And that was really amazing to me that this thing that would have normally been drudgery was so exciting and engaging. And that was pretty much the first time I realized that, wow, this is something really different from every other smart drug I've tried.
Well, let's take a step back for people who are listening. People who are longtime listeners definitely will have heard about smart drugs and nootropics, but what's the definition of a nootropic or a smart drug, the way you're using it here? Just so people who are maybe listening for the first time get a sense for this.
Well, a nootropic is a supplement or a drug that positively improves the brain's metabolism of neurochemicals or activates certain mechanisms in the brain such that it produces a neuroprotective, sustainable, beneficial effect. Now, something that might improve cognitive performance but not in a sustainable, beneficial way would be, say, for instance, amphetamines. Yeah. So a nootropic, for instance, like paracetam, is neuroprotective, protects the brain from injury, and it increases the effects, the ability of the brain to process information, remember, and function. So that's my definition.
I really like it. And this idea of neuroprotection is really important. A lot of questions around many of these techniques come down to, well, is it safe? And the answer is, not only are some of these things safe, they're actually better than doing nothing. So you get an increase in performance and an increase in at least potential neuron longevity or something like that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Now, we've defined what smart drugs are. And what is the theory behind the one that you created here, behind SILTEB?
Well, the theory is that, it started out in academia, actually, they were investigating this drug called Rolipram, which is a phosphodiesterase 4 inhibitor. And what it does is it prevents the breakdown of CAMP, cyclic adenosine monophosphate, in neurons. And what that does is it prolongs the activation of the cell in this process called long-term potentiation, which is basically when neurons are reaching, are growing and extending dendrites and toward other neurons to strengthen the firing of electrical signals between the neurons. And this process, when they block it in mice, it makes it so they can't form long-term memory. So they've determined that this is a process that's crucial to long-term memory. Now, this drug, they would use it on mice in various tests that they, run the mice through, and it had dramatic effects in improving their reference memory. And when they combined it with forskolin, they found that this effect was even increased further. Now, this drug never made it through clinical trials because it had the side effect of emesis, which is the medical nice way to say vomiting. it was a very interesting drug for doing all sorts of experiments on mice, but it didn't really get through clinical trials because of the side effects, and so it was just put on the shelf. And there were actually a lot of articles in the literature about how one of these days they're going to make a synthetic PDE4 inhibitor that doesn't have this side effect. And there was even a Forbes article in 2002 that was talking about the development of these class of drugs, and they even referred to it as brain Viagra.
Nice.
So I was intrigued by this. And, I knew that a cousin of PDE4, very closely related, it also affects a chemical similar to CAMP called CGMP. I think that's cyclic guanosine monophosphate. But anyway, that chemical that inhibits that is called PDE5, and that is what Viagra and Cialis inhibit. And so those work great, right? And but there are herbal inhibitors.
All right. So you brought up Viagra. I was going to be polite about that, but there was a little side effect about mice. I think that I came across when I was doing research to chat with you about this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The side effect about mice.
Yeah.
The PDE4 in female mice. That's a fun one. Is that what you're referring to?
Indeed.
Oh, okay. Well, in female, this study actually came out at the beginning of this year that they said in female mice, PDE4 was sort of like Viagra in male mice. So in women, in their anatomy, PDE4 was the primary enzyme that was controlling the process of arousal in the anatomy. And in men, that was PDE5, male mice. So,
just to make sure that we demystify that whole sentence here. if I could just translate that and do this in the scientific way. In mice, it caused clitoral erections. not to right. be too graphic there for people driving in their car. But that's kind of interesting, especially given if you've heard the podcast with One Taste and all. So we're going to have to send a bottle of this over there to the people who are studying female orgasms in humans to see if there's a difference. And believe it or not, I really am going to send a bottle of it over there to Pooja. I hope I just got her name right. That would be embarrassing if I got her name wrong because she was on the show. Ah, I need more Siltep. But from over, I believe, at Rutgers. But yeah, there's really interesting science behind what this is doing, because it is kind of close to what Viagra is doing, but this is actually not even a drug, right? It's a natural herbal supplement.
Right. Yeah. So my thought process going back to all this was, there's herbal things that act like Viagra. They're not as strong, you know, they're not as effective, but they do kind of work, at least in my experience. For instance, there's Icarin, which is in Epimedium, otherwise known as, you know, colloquially as horny goat weed. So
yep.
I was thinking, well, there must be some sort of herbal PDE4. Let's go dig around PubMed and see what we find. And you know, I found that there in Taiwan and China, they've been doing a lot of research on traditional Chinese medicine, and they were analyzing budiolan, which is in artichoke extract, and they discovered that, oh yeah, this is a PDE inhibitor, you know, PDE1 through 5, especially 4. And they were investigating it mainly because PDE4 inhibitors, prescription ones, have been used as anti-inflammatories for people with cardio-obstructive pulmonary disorder, which is, you know, what you get from smoking for, you know, ever, you know, helps them breathe. So they were investigating this as kind of a therapeutic angle on it. And so I read this and I thought, okay, luteolin, I'll just order up some artichoke extract. And then I, you know, was looking at this other study where they said forskolin potentiated this effect and increased this long-term potentiation effect of PDE4 inhibitors. So I ordered that up and I tried it and I was like, wow, this is really great. And I even wrote in my journal, it's new super nootropic.
I'm actually amazed because, oh, for more than 10 years, I've been taking luteolin for its anti-inflammatory benefits. Mine was in the form of perilla extract, or perilla. I don't even know how you pronounce that herb. And I've been taking forskolin for its cyclic AMP effects, also basically for increasing various cellular functions, and did not know that there was a smart drug effect from these things. And about, a year ago or so, I think you and Tim Ferriss were Twittering about this, and he'd mentioned this in a magazine. I'm like, that's an old stack. Like, you take one for liver function, the luteolin, and for inflammation, you take the other one for cyclic AMP. Like, what's the big deal? Because I didn't understand the whole PDE4 thing that you had discovered. And so since then, I've had a chance to get to know you. And for people who are listening saying, I want to try this thing, we just put together something so you can get this on the Bulletproof Exec website or on Upgrade Itself. So I'm super stoked that, you know, this is a stack that I know is, at least I believe it's safe because I've taken it for a very long time in a different form. And you've added a few other things which are very well formulated to it. So I was super stoked to get to know you and to get to understand what it was that you'd built here. So I'm pretty hesitant to jump out behind, putting my name behind anything like this until it's well vetted. But your science is super sound, and that's why, you know, I invited you on the podcast today to talk more about the science. So that's kind of just an example of how you've taken some ingredients that have been known for their own separate things, and when you stack them together, you teased out the effect, one that I missed, which is kind of cool.
Right, right. And it's interesting because, you know, we found another PDE4 inhibitor that's called Zembrin, and it's from, it's an a processed extract of Kana that has this chemical mesembrinone, which is a very strong PDE4 inhibitor. And you know, from time to time when I really need to cram on something, I take it. It's very intense, and all I want to do is study all day.
Wow. All right. We're going to include links to that and these other compounds that we've talked about in the show notes, so people don't have to randomly Google around while trying to weave in and out of traffic. in LA or something, where a lot of people listen to the podcast when they're driving. So don't worry if you miss some of these advanced compounds. We'll make sure they're all out there. Now, you hang out on one of my websites that I will call me a lurker on it. I've posted occasionally, but Longevity, right? You spend a lot of time online with those guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's it's a great resource. That's where I initially kind of announced the stack and developed the scientific understanding of it along with the community.
So if you're listening to this and you're interested in the cutting edge, including some crazy stuff, to be honest, around smart drugs, Longevity is a community of people like me, many of whom are biohackers or people who are like themselves, but who are at the cutting edge of looking at what smart drugs do to the human body, people who are human guinea pigs. And it's a great resource there. So you announced it there, and I've definitely gone through the thread and thought, wow, this is pretty neat stuff. It's very deep, and it's a great information resource. That means, though, that you know about other smart drugs, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you and me both. Let's talk about racetams. My favorite one, most people who listen have heard me talk about aniracetam because of what it does to memory IO and to creativity and stress. This is kind of, you know, my favorite racetam and one that I take every day unless I'm taking phenylparacetam. How does Siltep interact with racetams?
Well, it interacts really well with phenylparacetam. It's they're very synergistic. One of the guys I'm involved with in the in the Siltep business said, "Oh yeah, that felt really limitless when I took the two together." And I said, "Yeah, sure it did." That's the sack I take when I have an exam or I'm cramming for something. It's not one I take every day, though. Every day I take paracetam, though, because that has a subtler effect. I mean, phenylparacetam, it's very much of a stimulant effect almost. Biathletes in the Olympics, I think, were banned for using it because it increased their endurance and their tolerance to cold. So that's very strong, has a very strong effect.
I kind of describe phenylparacetam as paracetam for the whole body instead of just the brain. And in fact, right now I'm on a stack of phenylparacetam, aniracetam, and Siltep, but that would be something that I would take most days. So that's just kind of how I roll.
Yeah.
What about interactions, positive or negative, if you put Siltep with the racetams? Like, is this safe? Because there's a lot of people listening to this who take aniracetam because they tried it. Like the Rolling Stone guy in Australia, the editor there tried it. Was like, I think I'll be taking this aniracetam stuff forever.
I don't take aniracetam regularly. Mm-hmm. For my particular neurochemistry, it tends to kind of have a bit of a spacey effect for me.
So what about the rest of the racetams? I just want to know, like, is it safe for people on racetams to stack them with Siltep, and what should they expect to happen?
Yeah, well, they're good to paracetam, as far as I'm concerned, is and phenylparacetam are great to stack together because they're operating in different aspects of neurology. So, for instance, the racetams are acting in between the cell, at the cell receptors for NMDA and AMPA, and Siltep is operating inside of the cell, magnifying those signals. So they're not, they're not directly interacting. So there's kind of a barrier between them. It's not like, they're not both working on the same receptor, for example. So there would be, their effects are independent of each other, and therefore they're synergistic.
Now, it turns out that for a lot of people, racetams can impact sleep. Sometimes they have more intense dreams. Sometimes it keeps them up. What impact have you seen from Siltep on sleep?
Well, that's a funny question because, before we added Alcar to the stack, you'd get this 2 p.m. sleepiness that would kick in.
A 2 p.m. sleepiness.
And so, got it. Yeah. And the advice for a long time on that was to take N-acetyl tyrosine or, acetyl L-carnitine. And when I added this acetyl L-carnitine in the ratio of 1 milligram forskolin to 200 milligrams acetyl L-carnitine, that that alleviated that, and that's what we've put into the product. So, you know, Siltep actually helps you sleep better, if you can believe it.
The reason I asked is that I noticed that. It definitely makes me want to crash harder when it's time for sleep, but it doesn't necessarily make me want to crash earlier, although it may make me want to like go to sleep a little bit earlier than I normally do, but I tend to stay up late because I have a lot of work to do. Like I'm writing another podcast preparation document, or you know, putting together another science post like the one today on lectins. So, you know, if you're trying to crank, have you experienced that? It makes you like when it's time for sleep, you really need to go to sleep then?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I sleep really well when I take it.
Yeah. I think I sleep better too. And I don't have enough data to necessarily prove that. I just haven't put the data together. I'm using a new sleep sensor system, so I don't have like A versus B, like with the same sensors. But I think that's an effect that I would tell people probably works. And for people listening, if you haven't heard of ALCAR or acetyl L-carnitine, this is a common amino acid that's used for cognitive enhancement and anti-aging purposes. It's been around for what, 20, 25 years. Life Extension Foundation first started talking about its use for mitochondrial function years ago for fat burning. And it's something that I've used for longer than I can remember, I would say. So putting these things into a single stack reduces the number of pills and the cost very dramatically. And by having them work synergistically like this, it's a new effect and not one that that I was aware of. So you've done a lot of biohacking here, which is really cool. You can tell you've done this. But what didn't work? Like what failures did you have?
Oh, well, we tried this to get the stack working with quercetin, which is has PDE inhibiting effects, but it was way too strong and it kept me up at night and just kind of made me a little irritable. And same with hisperidin. That was kind of, you know, too strong in the wrong way as well.
I mean, a lot of people take a vitamin C with quercetin and hisperidin. These are basically cofactors that go with vitamin C, right?
Well, you can get them on their own. I mean, yeah, I was taking like 1 gram of quercetin.
Oh, you were kind of hitting it hard then. But if I was taking, you know, my vitamin C with bioflavonoids and quercetin and hisperidin and all that in a normal dose, do you think that that would have an impact for the average person?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's a small enough dose, I mean, you know, if you had a choice to avoid it, I would. It's just really the effect of Siltep has to be carefully balanced. For instance, you know, the amount of forskolin in it, you might notice, is very small compared to, you know, what's been in diet pills, for example. Like most, you know, if you buy like a bodybuilding supplement with forskolin in it, it's you know, got 25 milligrams and we only have four.
Bodybuilders have different goals than anti-aging and smart drug people. Like they're different communities. They take advantage of the same pathways, but you know, sometimes you beat them over the head and sometimes you maneuver them carefully.
Right. But the point I'm trying to get at is the effect of Siltep is kind of, it needs to be carefully balanced. Like too much is not better.
I wouldn't take 4 or 5 Siltep capsules at the same time. I think that would be a very bad idea. You get a massive headache just from the ALCAR, if nothing else.
Right. It's important to, not mess with the ratios. And I mean, you know, maybe a little quercetin or hisperidin in small amounts wouldn't affect it as much, but I would try it with and without, because, you know, they're just, the subjective effect, because there's, you know, there's so many PDE 4 variants. There's like 4A, 4B, 4C, 4D, and they all have, you know, slightly different effects. And just the ones that quercetin and hisperidin are active inhibiting are, you know, subjectively, in my experience, not the most beneficial.
Got it. So people wouldn't want to take mega doses of vitamin C cofactors with this. What about another real popular supplement, one that I carry on the site too, Alpha Brain? It's primarily around increasing the activity of acetylcholine in the brain. And for a lot of people, they perform better when they've got more acetylcholine. What happens if you take Alpha Brain and Siltep together?
Well, I haven't taken AlphaBrain and SoulCept together, but I would, imagine that acetyl-L-carnitine was what cured the sleepiness of that was induced by SoulCept. So that affects acetylcholine, and so increasing the acetylcholine in the brain should be beneficial as far as wakefulness and so forth. That being said, you can get too much acetylcholine in the brain. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but I hold out hope that the two will be should be good together. I mean, especially the amino acids and so forth that are in alpha brain.
You have a moderate amount of Alcar. You're not overdoing it in SoulTap. And so I don't think for most people that there would be excessive Alcar between the two. And if there was, if you stack them, I think that your effects would be a headache and you'd know it right away. You might get some jaw tension or something. The other thing that is worth noting is that there's vinpocetine, which is a PDE1 inhibitor in alpha brain.
Right.
But since you're inhibiting PDE4, doing a PDE1 and 4 at the same time, they should stack together pretty nicely.
Luteolin does have some PDE1 inhibition effects, but they could stack together beneficially. I mean, I'd really have to take them together for a while, but it could be synergistic for all I know.
My read on it as a biohacker is that there's a lot of synergies there. And I don't see a lot of other problems, but I'm also someone who's acetylcholine dominant. Like, I've taken probably too many large dose acetylcholine promoters for a decade and a half, to the point that I have all the acetylcholine I need. When I take extra acetylcholine, I tend to get jaw tension and muscle tension pretty quickly. So I have to be really careful, especially with acetylcholinesterase inhibitors like huperzine. So that's not one that works with my neurochemistry, but for most people, they benefit greatly from that. So when I look at stacking those two up, I'm like, hey, it sounds like a great plan. And if it doesn't work for you, you're going to know it the first time you stack them.
and sometimes, I take galantamine.
Yeah.
Which is a acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. So, it's conceivable that they could be synergistic.
Now, the best thing to wash SoulTap down with is bulletproof coffee. Can you tell me why?
Oh, well.
Blatant self-serving questions.
Oh, I love bulletproof coffee. It's great stuff.
So you do drink coffee? I never actually asked you that before. So, I mean, this isn't, we didn't stack this up. I was just, being the blatant commercial slime ball, who I'm not with that question. So, but like, in all honesty, do you drink coffee, and what's the effect of coffee and SoulTap when you stack them?
Oh, well, they work great together. Coffee is also great with theanine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you're aware that it has a effect of reducing some of the jitteriness aspects of caffeine by itself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's our other product, Smart Caffeine.
Yep.
And but Bulletproof's great. It's really good coffee. I feel great after I drink it. Doesn't have the sometimes when I drink coffee, I just don't feel right.
After. You actually notice a difference from bad coffee. Like,
yeah.
Just for people listening, I know I'm famous for talking about coffee and all that stuff. We didn't cue any of this up. We didn't plan this ahead of time. I have no idea what Abelard or Justin's answer is going to be here about stacking this and anything else. So, like, this is just two biohackers talking about coffee, just so we're all clear on that. So you felt a difference from, like, the quality of coffee changed how you were reacting, and you're okay with stacking coffee with the ingredients in here. I've never actually looked at what phenylalanine and caffeine or coffee do together. Any thoughts on that?
Well, phenylalanine is an essential amino acid. I mean, a hard-boiled mm-hmm. egg, there's 700 milligrams of phenylalanine. So if you eat a hard-boiled egg, you already took more phenylalanine than is in SoulTap. So.
So why did you add phenylalanine to the stack?
Because Siltep, when it activates, you know, Kreb, and that goes into the nucleus of, you know, neurons, it starts increasing the production of enzymes. One of those is tyrosine hydroxylase, which is a important enzyme in dopamine metabolism. And that, you know, the front end of dopamine metabolism is you know, where the original amino acid that's processed from food into the tyrosine and the L-dopa and dopamine and so forth and so on is, you know, L-phenylalanine. So I'm just providing more fuel because that, you know, that material is going to be being, that amino acid is going to be being processed more quickly by the body. So, I, you know, it's the same reason I added ALCAR is that, is to counteract the depletion of those, you know, those nutrients that would otherwise occur. And, you know, thus counteracting any sort of, nutrient depletion effects.
Got it. That makes great sense. And supporting dopamine, in my experience, is at least as important as acetylcholine. Acetylcholine gets a lot of headlines, and this is, you know, why I have Alpha Brain on the site as something that I recommend for people, because, you know, of its massive support for acetylcholine. But when you flip over to dopamine, that's becomes the realm of things like modafinil or Provigil, which I'm kind of well known for using. How would you compare Siltep to modafinil and their effects on the brain?
Well, you know, modafinil is kind of a strange one because the mechanism of action of it is somewhat unclear.
Yeah.
People thought it was orexins for a while, and then people thought it was, you know, it was something to do with brain currents, and, you know, it's interesting, but... There are people who take modafinil and Siltep together on the thread, and they have good luck with it. They one thing that modafinil does is it is reading about it. It blocks LTP in some cases in the prefrontal cortex. So, you know, maybe Siltep would help reverse that, or yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't take modafinil personally. So
why not?
Well. I try to stick to all natural, you know, I don't, you know, I try to stay away from prescription drugs.
So sort of all natural chemical extract of vitamin B6, is that all natural?
Well, that's natural enough. And for, you know, for, I mean, I just don't like to, you know, have to go to my doctor and say, hey, you know,
Well, Silk Road 2.0 just came on, so you don't need your doctor anymore. Just kidding.
Yeah.
For people listening, Silk Road is, you know, the place where you can go online to get just about any illegal drug or quasi-legal drug you wanted and pay with anonymous currency. And it was shut down by the government and just reopened yesterday as Silk Road 2.0, new and improved. Anyway.
Like, I guess I can't say, you know, use the all natural excuse because I take paracetam. But
there you go.
It's more like, what can I order? You know, without having to go to a doctor's office and like beg and act, you know, in a shady way.
Needing a permission slip to biohack has been frustrating for me for years. And fortunately, there are a lot of integrative and holistic and functional medicine doctors who, you know, when they understand what you're doing, will work with you on, you know, on improving your brain function and improving your longevity. It's just, it takes time and energy and frankly money to find those guys. I try to list the bulletproof physicians on the site. That's not to say that they'll write you a script for modafinil, but to say that they'll work with you on making sure your brain works as well as it can in the safest possible way. And I, you know, I love the guys who spend their time and energy on that. So hats off to the physicians who are, you know, willing to help us be more than we otherwise were rather than just not dying.
Yeah. I agree with you. It's important to push the boundaries and, you know, become, you know, smarter, more healthier human beings than we would normally be able to without modern technology.
Well, speaking of modern technology, you go by online almost exclusively, like this is your unveiling, Justin, you know, as your name is Justin, you go by Abelard Lindsay. Now, I recognize that name because, well, I studied computer science too, and I'm a geek. But where did you get that name? Like, tell people about this since we're talking about high tech.
Oh, well, that's from Bruce Sterling's Schizmatrix. And this was some sci-fi he wrote back in the 80s. And in Schismatrix, there's the Shapers and the Mechanists who are locked in conflict. And the Shapers are people who manipulate their gene lines, their genetic code, and you know, their epigenetics, which is the activation of certain genes. And they use that to, you know, increase their intelligence and live forever. The central character of the book lives for, I think, more than 300 years. And, you know, and then the Mechanists are people who integrate themselves with computers and cybernetics and the, you know, and there's a conflict between them because the Shapers think that the Mechanists are, you know, impure because they've polluted themselves with, you know, machinery and so forth.
I remember that line of stories really well, because it's one of the early kind of transhumanist visions where you have like the Borg on one side versus, call them the natural life extension guys on the other, where one is working within the called unnatural limits of biology to make the biology do our bidding, which is more my line of biohacking, versus, you know, the Mechanists, which would be more like the what we call grinders today, like the guys who are implanting, you know, batteries and metal devices and magnets in their skin and sort of going in that direction. So my take as a biohacker, and I've looked actually quite a lot at the ethics and the risks and rewards of these various things. And bottom line is, until you've maxed out your existing hardware, your biology, the point of upgrading it seems kind of wasteful. And as a computer science guy, shouldn't you write better code before you buy a new processor? so there's just an elegance to that, right? And that's my take on this, and why I'm a fan of transhumanist technologies and understanding them, but I'm also very aware that we've barely scratched the surface of what our own biology can do. And SILTEP is one of those things that maybe can help your biology without needing to upgrade it.
Well, you know, the way I look at it, there are people who are a lot smarter than I am. You know, you look at math geniuses like Ramanujan or engineering geniuses like Tesla, and they had the same, you know, roughly two, or even these people who can, there was a 60 Minutes on this, who can remember everything that happened in their life up to now, since, you know, perfectly. And these people have the same roughly, you know, few pounds of gray matter between their ears that I do. And so what's the difference, right? And so the way I think about it is, you know, if I could, you know, somehow modify what's going on in my brain such that it was more like what was going on in their brains, then, you know, I could be that intelligent. And, you know, the guy who preserved Einstein's brain, for example, has found that, you know, he had a larger population of glial cells, which are these helper, you know, cells in the brain and so forth. So, you know, if you could, for instance, somehow encourage growth and, you know, that was controlled and beneficial in that part of the brain, then, you know, you could conceivably get more of that capability that that Einstein had. So that's how I look at it. You know, there's so much room for improvement over our current condition, just within our own biology.
So you mentioned epigenetics there, and the whole perspective on biohacking that I talk about on the Bulletproof side is around, you modify what's going on inside your body, like at the cellular or the neurotransmitter level, and SILTEP's there. And then you modify the environment around you to get the epigenetic effects, which includes things like nutrition. Like, do you do interesting things nutritionally? Do you pay attention to diet and exercise and things like that?
Yeah, I take a lot of supplements. you know, I've kind of gathered them up over the years. One thing that I do with my diet is I try and eat really, really clean. And, you know, for instance, one of the things, you know, I drink distilled water that I add the minerals back into. And, you know, I've gotten into the habit of eating like really high quality, storable food just for lunch or whatever, because, you know, it's like organic peas, organic chicken, organic cheese. And you look at the ingredient list on these and it's just peas. That's it. There's nothing else, you know, chicken, nothing else, you know, there's no nitrates, no, MSG, and, you know, eating that stuff on a regular basis, it's not for the gourmet or anything. It's it just feels really clean, and I don't have any negative reactions to it.
When you say storable foods, you mean like dehydrated, like backpacker ration kind of things?
No, this is stuff they sell at Costco. There are cans. They're about, you know, yay big, and they're good for like 20 years. And it's the really high quality stuff. It's actually not that cheap. I mean, to get enough calories for a day, if I was just going to eat that, which I don't eat specifically, it'd be like $20 a day. So it's not, it's not ramen noodles or something like that.
Got it. So you're kind of going for some convenience there. I'd worry about BPA in the can, that's for sure.
They're dry packed.
Oh, they're dry packed. Okay. I'd have to look at what the things are, but I'm not sure that that's quite on the Bulletproof diet, to be honest. But you're not on the Bulletproof diet, but I'm just, for people listening, I don't know that I'd say that that's the most nutritious, lowest inflammation food you could get. And have you struggled with any like weight gain or weight loss or anything like that in the course of, being a smart drug kind of biohacker? Like,
well, that hasn't really been my primary area of optimization. I've stayed about the same weight for many years. One thing I've gotten into because I don't have a lot of time on my hands is the 7-minute workout. Have you ever heard about that?
I do about 15 minutes once every week or two. Not quite 7 minutes. This is like Body by Science kind of stuff.
Well, this is, there was this study that was in a health journal and they said, what is the minimum amount of time you can possibly work out and, maintain health and so forth. And they said it's, basically a 7-minute high intensity workout. And there's even all these iPhone apps out for that now.
Okay. Yeah. It's very related to the stuff like the last couple of years I've been saying, here's how to do the minimum amount. So Dr. McGuff recommends 15 minutes every 14 days, which is funny enough is 7.5 minutes. So it's related quite a bit. So you're doing like some heavy lift squats or some sprints kind of things.
Yeah. You do jumping jacks and then you get a little break. Then you do wall sit, get a little break, push-ups, get a little break. And this all kind of fits into 7 minutes. And there was an article in the New York Times about it. And had a lot of scientific, it had an actual study behind it that was in a published journal. So that's why.
Very cool. Well, we are running towards the end of our interview here. And there's a couple of questions I ask everyone who comes on the show. Before we get to those, though, I want to remind people, if this interview has been helpful and you'd like to try Siltep, it is available on the Bulletproof website. So check out bulletproofexec.com, go to the store, go to Upgrade Itself, which is our store URL, and we will be carrying this for you. And I'm extremely pleased about that. Just there aren't a lot of new smart drug stacks, or I should say nootropic stacks, smart herbs out there like this. And it's something that I've definitely vetted and something I've tried. So check it out. And on that note, let's ask this big question that everyone's answered. For people who want to basically kick more ass, people want to perform at their very best, what are the top 3 pieces of advice you have for them based on your life experience? It doesn't have to be about smart drugs. It can be if you want, but just all the things you've learned in your entire life, what are the 3 most important ones people should know?
You got to find the right combination of supplements and smart drugs that work for you. And, one of the ways that I think is really good for determining that is Eric Braverman's Edge Effect. That's, the way that he breaks down the neurochemistry of each particular person and so forth. And combining it with the right smart drugs that work for you. And that's sort of a process of exploration because everybody's brain is different. And the second thing I would say is to find out what, what you're really good at, what your brain, I think that not everybody can do everything really well. I mean, in my family, there's lots of differences with, talents and so forth. And, just to kind of find your niche, find out what you're good at and try a lot of things to kind of, you know, see what works. You know, what you're doing now that you're reasonably okay at may not be your main passion. And the other thing is to learn how to think better. You know, by reading about confirmation biases and social psychology and so forth, just finding all the ways that our own brains and you know, the habits of thought mislead us, so we can make better use, make better decisions, and not be subject to prejudices or biases that would interfere with us making the best decisions.
Awesome advice. Justin, aka Abelard Lindsay, thank you for being on the show. Thanks for making a new smart drug stack. And I really appreciate just the work you've been doing and the passion you put into smart drugs. I appreciate you being on the show today.
It's been a pleasure.